Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive, Chuck Buckler.
And, I mean, it's a good thing you're staying positive after this preseason.
What do you want me to do? It's preseason. I'm always positive. People will learn that if you're a new listener.
Anyways, we're a couple of best friends and credentialed Clippers media people who bring you Clippers news 5 days a week. We do love it. We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yes.
Great network. Be sure to check it out. New show, Locked On Bets.
Check
you'll
it
definitely
out.
Win. You'll definitely make money.
Unless you bet the Raiders. Okay, anyway, moving
and
on.
In Clippers news, we're going to kick things off with a recap of the final game of the preseason, which ended in a 125-105 loss to the Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to look at some of the good of that. You know, hint, hint, PG.
Yes.
And as well as some things that we didn't like and just kind of talk about how we're feeling after that preseason. And then... if you missed it somehow, the NBA is going to be investigating Jerry West surrounding some allegations as to how Kawhi came to the team. So we got to talk about that. Some kind of out there stuff, to be perfectly honest.
I have a hot take about this investigation as well.
And then we'll have some shavings for you, which is just kind of where we wrap up all the loose ends around the NBA. And also, it's Friday. We got a Love, Marry, Quarantine, where we rank things. We're either loving it, we're marrying it, we're quarantining it. Get it the heck away from us. All that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so the Clippers fell to the Jazz, 125-105. The line on this game, per betonline.ag, shout out betonline.ag, was Clips -4, so tough go to anyone who bet on the Clippers in this preseason. But there was a lot to like from this game. There were some things that I think some fans are going to be concerned about. But look, I guess right off the top, we got to say there's a chance we're in for a rough start. Not because the team is not playing well, but because we're figuring a lot of stuff out.
I mean, I feel like we've been echoing that over the past week or a couple of weeks. There's a lot of wrenches thrown in this system. Obviously, entirely new system put in place.
Yeah.
You have additional wrinkles with Morris possibly missing some time. Surge in that starting lineup, most likely, which, you know, is completely new. And then, you know, no way around it. There is a little bit of thinness in the depth. So, you know, when guys are missing, especially a big contributor, it's a little bit harder to cover up for them.
For sure.
But you know what? Like, that's what this is for, and that's what this time is for.
Yes.
And as long as we're, you know, as long as we're doing the process the right way, guys are communicating, figuring out what their roles are and how they can complement one another, then it's nothing to worry about. You know, if we see more of the same, then, you know, then there's reason to be concerned. But anyways, let's get into this recap.
So here's what we liked. Lou and PG picked up where they left off. PG had 16. Lou had 12. He was 2 of 2 from three. PG got to the line. He went 8 of 9 from the line, which was great. We saw a bunch of PG with the second unit, which seems like that's going to be a regular season rotation. But those guys are still kind of, you know, they look fresh. They look ready to carry some offensive load while everyone else kind of catches up, I think.
Totally, totally.
Kawhi hit half of his threes, which is good. Again, ramping up more. Like, Kawhi, I feel like we can't really take a whole bunch away from this. Not in a mean way or anything like that. We wanted to see Serge versus Gobert, but we got Zoo, who literally did everything well except for finish.
Yes, yeah. The finishing was, what did he finish? Like 2 of 7?
He was 2 of 7.
Which is not cutting the mustard.
That is not good.
But as you said, I mean, he did do everything else well against elite centers, you know, like your Goberts and the like. He's playing at his absolute best. He takes those sort of matchups super personally.
Yeah.
And it definitely showed. You could tell that he was frustrating Gobert, which is good to see. I mean, that's... Yeah. You know, a perennial DPOY kind of a guy, and to see Zoo, you know, kind of trying to go blow for blow with him is, you know, that's very encouraging.
Zoo is not scared of anybody. He set great screens. He had 7 boards. He had a steal. Like, the footwork on defense, the guys never really like hung out to dry when it's just up to him, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, he tends to be making the right decision when he's left out on an island on defense, which is really good to see. So hopefully that continues. Another bright spot, Luke Kennard.
Hold on,
go ahead.
Before I sorry to interrupt on the Kennard party. You know I want to hop on.
Bro,
that.
I know, setting you up.
But just a segue from the Zoo thing. What did we think about the look of Zoo back with the starting lineup?
It looks great. We can't pretend that it didn't look great. All right. Well, like, the starters were Bev, Kawhi, PG, Batum, Zoo.
Yes. And maybe some of that is just our familiarity with seeing these guys, you know. But it looked like there was a level of comfortability that we haven't yet seen from that starting lineup.
For sure.
And obviously, you know, like, the defense obviously is huge, but, you know, he's also such a contributor offensively, you know, through the screens and whatnot, even when the finishing isn't there. You know, he is a piece that kind of makes that whole machine turn. But
he makes any lineup good. So that's what I like. So for Zoo on the bench, Zoo can take a step on the bench defensively because he's going to have a lot more responsibilities. We'll get into this more as we get the actual lineup sorted out when we have everyone healthy. But something to remind, you know, I'm really excited on that. But we got to talk about Kennard because we talked about in the preview how we wanted Kennard to kind of let it fly. But man, like, Kawhi praised him in the postgame presser. He said he wants him to stand out and play his game. Like, dude, Kennard looks like he didn't take a year off from playing basketball.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, he was letting it fly. He was hitting some really tough shots. I think it's going to be one of those
dribbles there. The passes, like, he's a really good passer.
Yeah, he's a really good passer. He's a much better decision maker than Reggie.
We're going to get into that.
Probably a better shooter. I think, though, we might have some ups and downs with Kennard. I think that, you know, that confidence is great. He will definitely have some games where you're maybe questioning some of the shots. Overall, I think it's been a positive addition to the bench, and he's been one of the, kind of the bright spots to me to watch on this bench.
He threw a crazy pass to Batum that then fumbled, which sucked. But another good thing of this game, man, this was Fiondu Cabangeli's best game in a Clippers uniform.
He blocked
Gobert twice. He hit two threes. He missed a wide open dunk. Like, we got the full fee go round on this one. But I mean, he's definitely ahead of Oturu, who did not look very good. So we're with Morris out and with whatever's happening with Serge, like, I mean, we're going to see more fee during the season. He played the 4 and the 5, like, but this was fun to watch. This was a preseason fun to watch situation.
Seeing him and Terrence on the floor together is also always going to be fun.
So,
you know, even if it's not looking great from a production standpoint, it's, you know, it's great team building. And I do think that Fee is inching closer, certainly a little bit closer than I thought he was.
Yeah. And then your boy Batum hustles. He shot horribly, truly really bad, but the form looks good. He had 8 boards. Like, but this is a guy who's on a minimum contract who's kind of forced into a starting spot right now. So the hate for, like, there's going to be hate for Batum, because that's what's going to happen if he has to start for a fair amount of games if Morris is out. But I don't think it's justified because he was never asked to do starter stuff.
So I may have to run back my praise of Nick Batum and my love of this contract for Amin at some point. But so far, I'm still sticking to my guns. It wasn't great. He was 1 of 4 from 3, but that's one of those things too. It's like one more goes in. I mean, it's a completely different conversation. He was 2 of 6 overall. Once again, one more shot goes in. It's like a completely different conversation. And the thing to me that is encouraging is, like, he's getting some really good looks.
So that's the offense as a whole. Like, there's tinkering, but, like, there's a lot of good ball movement. Pat Bev took a weird, like he zigzagged to the top of the circle and took a shot, which, like, I don't think that's been a thing ever. Like, we saw some quick handoff stuff. Like, Batum getting these shots off makes me think the offense is closer, further along than we think.
Definitely. And he had, you know, he had a couple of defensively really not great possessions. He had
Stakers, as I like to call them.
He got ball faked like out of his shorts at one point. But, you know, like I said, like the looks are there. The rebounding, I think, is going to be a credit to that bench. Obviously, it's really hard to make up for the loss of Morris's production when he's not in that lineup. But on the ball movement thing, in the first half, it was beautiful. Of the 17 made field goals, 12 of them were assisted.
There we go.
And so, like, there are some good things. We did have 11 turnovers in that time, but hey, like, the ball is moving. We're trying to figure it out.
And honestly, we got a lot more to talk about this game. We're going to take this into the second segment coming up. Are we talking maybe some concerns we might have from this preseason?
Not maybe. We're talking some concerns. We
have. Oh, shit. Okay. But we have to give a shout out to Built Go, of course. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. You can break through that wall, whether it's mental or physical. If there's a wall in front of you and you've been ramming your shoulder up against it, just chug a Built Go. Break through that old SOB. Built Go is fantastic. Combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is a fast-absorbing substance that gets into your system quickly, and it's easy on your stomach for those of you with upset tummies, as I am. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work: beta alanine, B3 honey, and a kick of caffeine. Built Go, it just keeps you going. You can put it in, you know, your golf bag. You can have the most focused presentation you've ever had in your life. And right now, if you want a bit of a deal, visit builtgo.com, use promo code LOCKED, all capital letters, and you'll get 20% off, 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtbar.com. Let's go.
Okay, so we're wrapping up the final piece.
There was just so much to talk about. Hope you stuck around.
Now that it's the end of the preseason, we're going to talk about what we didn't like from this game, and then I think it'll kind of tie into some overarching things through the whole preseason. So what do we got? Where do we want to lead off with this?
First, we got to give a shout out to Locked On Bets. We mentioned the betting line earlier. You're going to hear about this a lot. But betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. Check out Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Maybe bet on some Clippers games. Who knows? Maybe bet on the Thunder games. They're underestimating Shea. We'll see what happens. Check out Locked On Bets. But so what we didn't like, my biggest thing, what's happening with Marcus Morris's knee? Because having a starter out for three preseason games puts you behind the eight ball. This is no fault of anybody's. We didn't have a surge. But, you know, Ty Lue didn't seem too worried about Serge or Patrick Patterson, who had a hyperextended right elbow. But, like, if Batum is starting in these games, we're going to see a rough start to the season. Now we're kind of getting into broader themes, I feel like, right?
Yeah, definitely. There's no way around it, man. The loss of Morris is massive to this team. You know, like, the offensive contributions, his three-point shooting, the spacing that he provides, as well as the ability to create off the dribble offensively. You know how big of a fan I am of Nick Batum. He can't do that. He's not going to be able to do that. And then, you know, on the other end of the floor, like, he is kind of, you know, one of the motors of this defense, especially with no Zoo out there. You know, I've said it before, but like, this team had some of its best defensive ratings with Marcus Morris on the floor. So yeah, sure. It's a massive loss on both sides. there's no two ways around it. But the thing is, you know, we have to be cautious because to make a playoff run, he's going to be essential. He's, you know, it's completely essential. So yeah, the slow start is probably coming. But that's okay. You know,
we gotta, and you know, it's so hard because we talked about this when Doc Rivers was the coach. We'd say, who cares about a loss in this part of the season? Who cares about a loss this part of the season? Now that we have a new coach, I guess we have to believe in that more. You know what I mean? This isn't a knock on Ty Lue at all, but this is a fandom struggle that we now kind of have to deal with.
yeah, totally. I mean, it is going to be challenging as fans, but, you know, like, once again, we just have to be like, are we instilling good habits? Are we making the same mistakes? Are guys communicating? Are we, like, are we moving the ball? Are we figuring things out when the shot that we want isn't on the floor?
The play the play, if you will.
Yes.
So that's a great segue into, like, this game was supposed to be a defensive focus game, as what Ty Lue said. How do we feel about the defense? Because this was a little rough. The Jazz hit 24 of 52 threes. They took 52, which is wild. That's a preseason ass stat right there.
Yeah.
You know, Bohan had 20. Lou in the post game said that the team is further along than what the preseason suggests. He says a communication is happening during practice. Where are we at in terms of, like, you know, defensive comfortability? I don't even know what the word is, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I mean, the Jazz start that second half, but looking at the first half where the game was much closer, it kind of unraveled in that second quarter. We got outscored 30-19. And you know, in that first half, the starters did play the majority of the time, you know, like it wasn't like,
this they got a lot of run,
kind of a mixed thing. So, you know, there's definitely is some issues. Teams continue to get hot against us, or at least to the eye, they get hot against us. So it's something to watch. Like, once again, I'm still having trouble putting a whole lot of stock into where the defense is at right now.
That's fair.
Given the absence of
Nick Batum is in the starting lineup.
Yes, given that given the absence of you know, essential personnel, given the change of a starting lineup, and just given the fact that they are preseason games, and I don't want to get into a, I really don't want us to get into a thing where we're like, oh, this doesn't matter, this doesn't matter.
For sure.
But in the preseason, I'm willing to let it slide a little bit. Like, so I'm not going to overanalyze this stuff too much.
For sure. And one of the things we heard, like, so, you know, it was in the post game, they talked about, I think it was Fee talked about how Dan Craig brought in the 2-3 zone over from Miami. So they were working on that in this game and stuff like that. So, like, there's gonna be growing pains. Like, this is just gonna be a thing right now. You know, how are we feeling? Headed, you know, the game's on Tuesday, opening night. How are we feeling? Scale of, you know, how you doing?
I mean, overall, fine. Like, there's some light concerns. I guess I wouldn't call them deep concerns. But, you know, overall, to grade this thing, I guess you kind of have to give it an incomplete. Like, it's really hard for me to make any sort of, like, long-term assessments from what we've seen through these three preseason games.
That's a good call. I think my one thing to say is that I hope Clippers fans are prepared for a bit of a slow start, because as we've seen, there's going to be growing pains, a new coach, short runway. That's how things kind of go. We got to be prepared, like, after 15 games, if we're 6-9 or something like that, that doesn't look very attractive in, you know, the win-loss column. But we have to be prepared for that. And I think we will see the good processes happen, because we've seen them happen in this preseason, right? Like, there's possessions that stick out where guys make that extra pass. Serge getting an easy bucket against the Lakers on Sunday. There's one very specific one that pops out into me. Like, Bev even taking that, you know, that mid-range jumper, that was a play that was called for Bev that we didn't ever see when Doc was coaching. Like, there was some handoff stuff. You know, Zoo's going to be able to fit in anywhere. It's going to be gutsy, I feel like, is the best way I can kind of describe the first part of the season before, like, while we're getting this figured out, is there's going to be some gutsy wins. And the nice thing is, I think the losses are going to look a lot gutsier than they did last year. Sometimes we would lose last season, and it was just like, this team didn't give a shit. Like this team didn't care at all, maybe. But this year, they're going to be trying to work on stuff, and I think giving guys something to work on tangibly, as opposed to the other way we used to do things, based on a lot of reports, will make guys want to be better in terms of, we got to figure this out. We know what we're trying to do. There's a clear vision. Let's try and do our best right now.
Definitely, definitely. And also, you get to kind of test the composure and resolve of a team when things aren't going
absolutely
great. Yeah. You know, and I've said this before, but, like, what better time to test that than the beginning of a season instead of the end?
Exactly, 100%. Coming up next, we're going to be talking the NBA's investigation into senior citizen Jerry West, as well as doing a very fun Love, Marry, Quarantine.
Okay, so we're back, and news is out. NBA is investigating news Jerry West.
Yes. But first, we got to give a shout out to the NBA season preview and Locked On NBA podcast. It's getting you ready for the start of the regular season. with a special week of team preview podcasts all this week, plus waiver wire additions for those of you fantasy basketball freaks out there from draft guru Chad Ford. We're going to be listening to the Locked On Kings one just to see where they're at. Seems like there's a rap coming out involving not taking Luka. That might be embarrassing. We'll see what happens. Anyway, subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. So the NBA has launched an investigation into the Jerry West / Clippers allegations surrounding the Kawhi Leonard acquisition from a TMZ report earlier this week. The man is named, which seems very bold on his part. His name's Johnny Wilkes. And I'm saying that off the top because he wasn't too worried about having his name said, which I think is kind of wild for someone who's trying to sue Jerry West, the individual, and not maybe the 70 billionaire who works for him. But the issue is, a man who claims to be Kawhi Leonard's pal, again, Johnny Wilkes, says Jerry West owes him $2.5 million for his role in helping the Clippers land Kawhi. The article says he's demanding Jerry West to play up as soon as possible, which is very odd because Kawhi Leonard was acquired actually last offseason and not this offseason. So soon is doing some heavy lifting. But I mean, what are we looking at here? Basically, Wilkes says in 2019, they met at Staples Center and he told Jerry West that he knew Uncle Dennis and that he could get them to get Kawhi. And one of his big selling points was getting Paul George on the team. And I just like, I mean, this is just, I don't use this term a lot and I'm from Montana, so this term has heavy weight. This is horse shit.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Just the fact that this Wilkes character is suing Jerry West directly, to me just kind of immediately tips off my like sort of spidey senses or whatever you want to say that this is not real. If there was any sort of agreement in place, wouldn't you be attempting to sue the billionaire owner of the franchise?
We think Jerry West was at dinner and was like, you know what? Eat. I'll give you $2.5 million to tell us how to pitch Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. Of my own personal money.
Like
to do a team recruitment. Like I'm just not seeing it, man.
He claims that he gave Jerry West a specific game plan for how the Clippers should pitch Kawhi during an important meeting with West, Leonard, Doc Rivers and others in July 19. And these things, they're public. It's public domain. Like Andrew Grive tweeted about it. Like the things literally boil down to like, pitch how much being in Los Angeles would be great for Kawhi. Pitch to how playing with Paul George would be great for Kawhi. Dude, like, I mean, TMZ is trash. Like, we're on full. I mean, TMZ is truly horrible. But this is like, this is just grasping at straws. And Kawhi, like, Kawhi deaded this in the post game presser at the Jazz game. Kawhi was asked if he knows Johnny Wilkes. He said, not at all. That has nothing to do with me. I'm from LA and I grew up here my whole life. Out here in LA, in parentheses, many people try to find a way to get some money. It probably won't be the last. Like the fact that the NBA is investigating this, tampering rules inherently are stupid.
Yes.
They don't work. Any team. So like, what's the punishment for the Clippers right now? Oh, we have to give up draft picks. We still have Kawhi. Like the punishment for any team tampering isn't enough to be like, well, I guess we shouldn't have tried. We shouldn't have gotten that top five player. Like
Adam Silver is going to break one of Kawhi's hands.
This is elder abuse. As far as I'm concerned, they're putting Jerry West through the ringer on here. This is trash. Like, and people argue that like, oh, the Lakers tamper, like every team tampers. The idea of the free agency deadline opening in this one portal of, you know, only at midnight or whatever thing, like it's just garbage.
Well, and here's the thing too with this one, like did the Clippers scouting of Kawhi, like having people at Raptors games and
that
stuff,
was weird as hell,
did that bridge on tampering? Yeah, for sure, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
but I do really think that, especially given, you know, that we had to wait till July 5th, I mean, like I just do think that Kawhi did consider free agency and he might have had, you know, some conversations with the Clippers, but nothing was finite.
No,
you know, it was clearly he did.
This guy's evidence is all circumstantial. He's like, I told him to do this, this, and this after they did it, a year and a half after they did it.
Yeah, well, and it's also like remind him that he's from LA and his entire family is here.
Yeah,
it's like,
if what? You know anything about Kawhi's family history, you know, there were some tragic events that happened in California. Kawhi didn't forget he's from California. Like,
no.
No one really takes this very seriously. Also, it was great that so this news dropped, and then half a second later, the Ben Simmons is involved in talks for James Harden being traded news dropped, and it just took all the heat away, which is fantastic. We pulled Clipper Nation and we asked, if you're trying to get $2.5 million from Jerry West at Staples Center, when do you ask for it? The options were pre-nachos, post-first beer. So you've had a beer, nachos are on their way, you're doing your thing, mid-hot dog, and then during the national anthem. Which of these are you choosing?
I'm going mid-hot dog. I think it's a power move.
You would have been in the minority. So only 26% of people voted for mid-hot dog, which I would have voted for too. Anyone who listens to the show knows there's one thing, man, chili dogs, hot dogs are the national food of America as far as I'm concerned. But pre-nachos, post-first beer one, which was my second choice. So you get kind of like that liquid courage. And then during the national anthem was in second place, which I'm going to be honest, seems a little misguided for a man like Jerry West.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
he's
fair.
An old white dude. He can't hear anything other than the national anthem when the national anthem is playing.
No, that's a very good point. It doesn't seem like he's the kind of guy to broach some sort of transaction at that time.
Or he's just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, sounds good. Mr. Wilkes, please be quiet. Anyway, I'm sure there's going to be some news about this. Also, worst case scenario, Steve Ballmer pays the fine for Jerry West. Like, I don't know why it's got to be a Jerry West thing. All right, let's get to Liberty Quarantine. Let's get to a fun thing. So they're bringing back the Coach's Challenge for this season. Are we excited about this?
I think it's fine. I mean,
I kind of hate it, man. If I'm being honest, I kind of truly hate the Coach's Challenge.
I just think the officiating is getting worse somehow in the NBA.
But I don't think this helps it. I think this makes it. This divides.
You know what?
Even more.
That's a fair point. I think that you might be onto something there because I do think that it got even worse this year. And I think like after getting called out, a ref is just more likely to just kind of go off the wheels completely. So I don't know. I it's nice when you need it, you know. But the rest of the time, I absolutely hate it. And it breaks up the flow of the game so much.
Because like umpires in baseball had like a really weird couple of seasons where they were like tossing guys for like stuff they shouldn't throw people for, and there was like all this like antagonizing against the umpires. And I think the same thing's about to happen with refs in the NBA. But anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. The Love Mary Quarantine this week is what you do every week. Things coaches must do to initiate a coach's challenge. They throw the flag in the NFL, which is fun. I think it's red. That's cool.
You do a spinny finger.
Yes.
In the NBA,
you do a party finger, which I don't think anyone else calls it that, but
no one calls it that.
So here's the three options.
In what context are you giving someone a party finger?
It's a party. You're dancing around. You're spinning your finger. It's a good time. So here's the options that Ty Lue would have to do to get a coach's challenge. He has to, quote unquote, hit a spin. And then when your foot lands after the 360 spin, you're giving the ref double finger guns.
Is this a pivot foot spin or he's completely airborne in this?
This is a pivot foot spin. Some argue is harder to really get it all away. So you have to do it well enough that it catches the ref's eye and you have to do double finger guns.
Okay, I'm liking that.
The second one is that there's a secret word, kind of like a Pee-wee's Playhouse type thing, written on a piece of paper and hidden somewhere in the locker room by the refs before the game. And you can only use your challenge if you found the piece of paper. It can be found by anybody.
So it's a treasure hunt.
Maybe there's a guy on the end of the roster, maybe a Rajon Tucker, if you will, who's definitely not going to get some playing time.
But their job is to find the secret word.
And then the third one is an Updike special. You got to pants the ref. If you want the challenge, you just got to pants the ref. I'm going to actually go first. I'm loving Pants the Ref. I think it adds a fun aspect to the game that's kind of missing right now.
Absolutely.
I think there's a slapstick effect missing from the NBA.
It's very like Three Stooges. It's
it's
comedy. It's just, that's pure comedy.
And the ref is just going to throw their hands up and chuckle and shrug their shoulders and say, I guess we'll take another look. And everyone loves it.
Especially if the call isn't overturned.
Yeah.
Like if the challenge is unsuccessful, that it makes the whole thing even funnier to me.
And it's a good time. And it keeps the refs on their game. They know they got to make a good call. Might get pants. You never know. This one could also be very messy, but who knows? I'm going to marry the secret word one, because I think this adds a very fun aspect to some pregame stuff. Maybe you get a trainer. Maybe like you get a coach's son who's like, dude, you got to find this thing. It could be anywhere. And there's no clues. I think that's fun. And I'm going to quarantine hitting a spin, because I think there's some coaches who might blow an ACL.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I got to go opposite. I am loving
hit. You're a spin. Right. That's the beauty about all these options.
I'm loving hit a spin and do the double finger guns at the ref. I think that it's fun. It's also, I just think that there are some coaches out there that can add a little panache to it.
Okay.
You know, I think that Spo might have a very, you know, a good looking pirouette to a very classy double finger gun.
Yeah.
I just think there's,
because there's coaches, a low key double finger gun. There's like the in your face. Like,
there's a lot of variations, and I would really like to see the way that coaches kind of make it their own.
And it hits different if you're wearing a polo versus suit.
Absolutely. Oh, can you imagine two spinning the 360? The tie is just, it's whipping around.
If this is your first time listening to Locked On Clips, welcome, because this is where we're at most of the time. All right, what are you marrying in quarantine?
I'm marrying Pants the Ref. I just think that that's...
No question.
That's the... I mean, that is one of the surest ways to begin an altercation, so why not use it to incite a challenge? I think that it's great. It's a direct challenge.
Okay. And everyone's aware of the issue too. Like, this isn't like a surprise thing. Like, it's like, you might get pants if there's a thing. Like,
yeah, yeah. Well, okay. I mean, because there's generally a stoppage of play.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So, what are you quarantining?
I got a quarantine secret word.
That's insane. But okay.
I'm against any treasure hunt that doesn't involve Nicolas Cage.
Okay. I mean, I can't really argue with that. But
I'm sorry. I'm not a fan.
I feel bad quarantining any of these. let us know your favorite at Locked On Clips. You can also follow us at Locked On Clips. Also follow Locked On Podcast Network. That about wraps it up. We hope everyone has a great weekend. Stay safe. It's almost Christmas. Hope you got your shopping done.
And if you're on the worry train right now, just pump the brakes. We might be off to a slow start, but we're going to get this engine running.
Absolutely. Also, happy Hanukkah to those celebrating. Must be a good time. Monday's episode, we're going to be talking what we want to see in the game that is happening on Tuesday, which is Clippers versus Lakers. Still feels very weird that it's so soon. We're going to have some notes from practice, of course. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these people tell us to listen to us all season?
You could check us out all season on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. You can stay up to date with this Clippers news coming at you 5 days a week. If you like what we're doing, go ahead, leave a rating or review. It doesn't cost anything.
We'll read it on air. We had a Lakers fan leave us. We've had a couple 5 stars. It's a good time. Show you better than Lakers fans. But yeah, it's been fantastic. Hope everyone's doing well. Have a safe weekend. Mask up if you're going to go do your thing. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.